glorify thy name, Lord.
Thank you for the joy of the Lord. As you have commanded us, you say that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. As we are this morning, this Lord God Almighty, in our life this day, Lord, anything that tries to take away from that joy, we renounce and we reject and we rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It shall be as the Master has said, our joy shall be full.
Amen.
Day by day as we walk with him and in his word. Blessed be the name of Father. Thank you for the all the great testimonies of great deliverances. No matter what near he lay in our path, it's in vain. And it's now it lay for the border.
Amen.
The border escapes, sir. Refer to their sin.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we worship and we adore you. Thank you for the time of rejoicing and singing before you, Lord. See God's glory everywhere. Because that is the promise he gave us. Right here in the midst, the Lord our God in the midst of us. You are mighty. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for being in the midst this morning. And we believe and trust for additional blessings as we read your word right now. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to talk to Colossians, the first chapter, by God's grace this morning. Just some little message here. Not too long, the service, hopefully. Colossians 1:26. Bible talk of even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, not to the world, to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we preach, one every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, God's hidden mystery. That's what I want to talk about this morning. God's hidden mystery, you know. And we just talk about it right now. God's hidden mystery. So, before the world began at all, God had certain attributes, you know, that is what to express. It was in him. This attribute was in God, right in the beginning. What to express them, you know. And in the part of this attribute is love. Yeah, God had the attribute of, in fact, Bible says, indeed, God is love, right? Other attributes include, you want to be a father. You want to be the father. See? Before there was any act made, before anything was ever created, these attributes were in God. You want to be father. And you want to be son too. Not in the ordinary sense you think about it, but you want to be that also. And it was in him to be Savior. Praise the Lord. All this were in God. To be Savior was in God. It was in him to be healer. Amen. Right from before he even created any star or any kind of a thing, these attributes were in God. You know? So, of course, God means what? God means an object of worship, right? So, for it to be God, there has to be a creation that we worship him. There has to make a creation that we worship him. Praise the Lord. Therefore, in the beginning, he created the angels, and those angels worshiped him. That's why in Hebrews 1:5, I want to read that one. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father. See, even right there in that one particular verse, all I'm talking about is even rooted in India. A father. And he shall be to me a son. And again, where he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. His scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In this 3 or 4 verses, talk about the Father, he talk about the Son. So if you just read this casually, you will think he's talking about different personalities, right? But not so. So it was in God to be Father in the beginning, before the world was ever made. It was in him to be Son, before the world was ever made. So, and he has all these attributes. Even if you are thinking they are different, look at the verse 8. But unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God. The Son is God, right? Is that right? He said, and unto the Son, you know, he said, thy throne, O God. Talking about the Son. So you see now, they are not different. In the same word, eternal God. With different attributes, manifesting itself in different attributes. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, it's a mystery, really, you know. And there are so many mysteries in the Bible. So, one of these greatest mysteries is the mystery of God appearing in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. One of the greatest mysteries in the Bible, I don't know that, you know. So, so this hidden mystery in Colossians is actually the revelation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. God has made known, meaning he revealed, right? Now, the hidden mystery by many, many times in the Bible. You see, he didn't give out all of his mystery out at one time, but in piecemeal, according to dispensation and ages. But we are living in the age now where all the mystery of God will be finished. Amen. Praise the Lord. From the beginning, you need to repeat them. Teach me as it's needed to each generation, but we are living at the end of the age now. Yeah, I may know all the mystery of God and things like that, you know. So anyway, so now the entire Bible, this Bible we are reading, all the word in it, therefore, is the revelation of the hidden mystery of God in Christ, the old Bible. See? Now, for example, like last week or something like that, you know. God type, take the life of each of the Old Testament people, prophets and so on like that, you know. Each of them will type one aspect or the other of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So talk about Moses, he was a great prophet. He himself, at the end of his ministry or something like that, said, you know, a prophet like myself, will the Lord God raise up and so on like that, you know. Think about Joseph, he manifests a part of the attributes of Christ. Think of Elijah, all of them, one way or the other, they manifest one face or the other of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? So, and indeed, all the prophets, the Bible told us, bore witness of the Lord Jesus. All of the prophets, where do you see this in the Bible? Yes. The disciples go to Emmaus, the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We know one of them is Cleopas. The other, we don't know his name. And in Luke 24, talking about the Lord revealed in all the Bible, as you know, in Luke 24, verse 25, then said the Lord to these two disciples unto them. He said, verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. They spoke about him, right? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And 27 verse 8, and beginning from Moses, that is Genesis, right? Beginning from Moses and all the prophets, whether it is Moses, Elijah, whatever, all the prophets, Samuel, all of them, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So you see that idea, you know, Christ, God manifesting himself in Christ. So the Lord told the unbelieving Jews, even, he told them, in John 5:39, you know, that the entire scripture testify of him. All the Bible, all the scripture, that is in John 5:39. They are the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The Lord told them, just showing you that this whole Bible is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible even said us in Acts 10:43. To him, meaning the Lord Jesus, give all the prophets witness. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, is the principal theme of the entire Bible. Amen? That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is the entire theme of the entire Bible. He was in the prophets, like I just showed you right now. He is in the Psalms, Psalm 16, Psalm 22. It's right there, all over the Psalms, as you know. And You know, all about the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the principal theme of the whole Bible. Now, the Bible, as we know it today, of course, is a book of prophecy. It's an historical book, yes. It's a book of love. It's a book of song. That's even a book in that called the song, called song. Some of the fellow man has known. Book of song. It's a book of life. So, if anyone read this Bible, and you can't see Jesus Christ in almost every page or sentence, then you are missing something. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. You are missing something. You can't see Jesus in every page and verse of this Bible. You are missing something. You have to read this all over again. Prayerfully and ask God to open your eyes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Christ Jesus is the theme of the entire Bible. And Christ is the Word, right? The Word of God. We are told in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And John chapter 1 verse 1 also. See? John 1:1. Genesis 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him, was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
So, if God is different from Christ, where is God? When God, Jesus, in the beginning, God created everything, right?
Amen.
So, you can't divide, there's just one God. Praise God.
Amen.
So, that's mystery. Hidden before the foundation of the world, revealed to the saints at the end time. Amen?
Amen.
No? The hidden secret of God. The Lord Jesus. Now, verse 10 says this. He was in the world, you see? And the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. Yeah, the Creator came to the creation. Praise God. What's any man? Business is about that and so that, you know. Can the clay say to the potter, how do you make me dust? You see? So anyway, if anybody wants to query Him. So anyway, and in Revelation 19:13, and He was clothed with a vesture deep in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. See? Christ, the Word of God. So, if Christ is the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is the Word of God, you know, and the Word of God is in you, then Christ should be the principal theme of everything you and I do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If we are not already, we should make Him the principal theme. Our action, our purposes, our decisions, our ambition should be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as He is the principal theme of the Bible. He should be the principal theme of our life. Praise God.
Amen.
Every other thing becomes insignificant. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus is the main principal theme of our life, of the life of the believer, of the Christian. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So let us always remember that and that, you know. Now, so because, you know, so in John 15:7, we are told, if you abide in Me, and My Word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We are saying that, you know, that Word of God is in us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word, right? So in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, so this is another God, this Almighty God, you know, so we see now. He wanted to reveal Himself to the human race. He had that in Him before the world began, without any creation at all. He wanted to do that. But what happened? He couldn't do so in the way and form He was, as the great Jehovah, who covered all space and time. He couldn't reveal Himself to us in that particular way. He couldn't do it, and so on, that, you know. Because He is infinitely great to ever be able to be revealed to man that way, because it is too mysterious. So couldn't that way as well as you know. So think of it now. Trillions and trillions of light years ago. Go back to infinity of the past. You can't even measure them at all. And even when you go that far, trillions and trillions of light years, you can't even reach its beginning. Amen. Why they call that no beginning to Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no beginning to Him. You know, and that's why we are told in the book of Hebrews 7 3, that being the Almighty now, talking of Melchizedek in there, which we all know who he is, of many things, without the center, Bible says, without father, without mother, and without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life. That is the heart, you know, our God, the Almighty God. And also in Isaiah 57, verse 15, we are told, he is the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, you see, whose name is holy, dwelling in a high and holy place. The Bible says that, you know. So, but he loved fatherhood. He wants to be a father, you know. And for he was a father, and he is a father. That's why Isaiah 9:6 tells us this. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All those attributes that was in God before the world began, as I begin to spew them out, what it will be when it comes here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes? Those attributes, you want to be a father and son, that you know. Even to be a son, the same as I prophesy of the same in the same verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, you see that? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That in that verse, he portrayed the attributes of God to be a father, to be son. That in that one verse. And he's telling us that he is the same personality. Praise the Lord. That's right. The same personality. Can we call him son here in this particular situation, and father in that situation, and something that you know, but he is the same and one personality, you know. So, and that is the reason the Lord Jesus himself keep referring to himself as the Son of Man, the Son of Man, and so on, throughout his ministry here on earth, and so that, you know. So, and one of God's greatest purposes then is this, was to express himself or identify himself with the human race by revealing himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we are told the secret, the hidden mystery before the foundation of the world, only to be revealed at the end time to his saints. One of his purposes is to reveal himself in Christ, you know, and he did, you know. So now, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ. He couldn't reveal himself in that eternal fire. He couldn't do that one to the human race and something like that. He had to come as a man. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not he putting their trespasses unto them again, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. First Timothy 3:16. This is the hidden mystery, that God will come in human form. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery, it's a mystery, right, of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So all these things, they are mysteries, the mystery of God hidden before the world began, really, you know. Now, not only that, God wanted to live in his people. He wanted to live in his people, in the bride. So, and that over them, he had the preeminence, see. He wants to have the preeminence. That's in Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yes, in the brideship and some of that, you know, in all things had the preeminence. That was what the Lord wanted to do in Adam and Eve, really, you know. And they were separated from him through sin. Happened right there in the Garden of Eden and so on. It could have kept Adam and Eve in that way, but then he will never be able to express his fullness, that is, his full attributes, because God is Father, and he was Father. Even back then, God was Father back then in the garden and so on. He was Father already and so on. How do we know that, you know? Looking at the genealogy in Luke 3, And I read a couple of verses from Luke 3 and so on. So, even back then, regarding, he was already father. Because we are told that Adam was a son of God, isn't it? So, back in Luke 23:23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. I like how Dr. Luke, by the Holy Ghost, put this one. As was supposed, the son of Joseph, he wasn't the son of Joseph. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As was supposed, the Holy Ghost put in the mouth of Brad Luke like that. Praise God. I like that, you know. Anyway, which was the son of Heli. Then go all the way through to verse 38. Which was the son of Enos. Which was the son of Seth. Which was the son of Adam. Which was the son of God. So Adam was the son of God, right? It had been got to be a father life before the world began. Praise the Lord. So we see that one right there. But God is also Savior, you know, the Savior. And he wanted to express that attribute as a Savior, you know. And the only way he could do it is to do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way he could do it, you know. The only way he could be healer is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way he could be son is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only way he could express all these attributes and so forth that of human race is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. All things actually wind up in that one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. All things wind up in him. One scripture we are told in Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created which are read before, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And now, watch this now. And by him, all things consist. When I say all things wind up in him, that's what I mean. By him, all things consist. Bible tells us. In Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's purpose and intention was to restore the fallen man back to where he could fellowship with him again, as he did in the cool of the evening back in the garden. That was his purpose, as well as you know. So, thus, what I've been saying this morning is this. Thus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are not three gods. Amen? They are three attributes, sir, of the same God. God wanted to be a father, so he was and he is a father. He was son and he is the Holy Ghost. So that's why even among the disciples, when he was there in John chapter 14, a little confusion among the disciples and so on, that you know. And in John 14, I read a couple of them. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we stop there, we can be thinking of two personalities, right? Not so. But when you read the old discussion, it's made clear right there. Verse 7 says, and if he had known me, the Lord said, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Praise the Lord. Amen. See? Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and he surpasses us. Even upon all the Lord said, some of them still didn't know what he's talking about. Then Philip asked the question, Lord, show us the Father, and he surpasses us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He was asking of the Father, right? And the Lord was saying that, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? So play a language. See? The simplicity that was in Christ. Amen? No complexity whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Plain language and so on, you know. At one time the Bible, they said, oh, now you spoke unto us plainly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come to the disciples, yeah, to the world in parables, but to the elect of God, spoke plainly. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, the Lord said. So, what are we talking about here? And we are even told in the Bible, those who make the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost to be three gods are idolaters. You are idolaters if you make them three. Praise God.
Amen.
Give me scripture. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Don't forget that in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was God, right? And the Word was made flesh. That is Christ, right? Christ is the Word, right? So you had the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, but we are told. See? Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now look at it. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. Oh. Praise the Lord. That will make every Christian shout. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch now, 21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. When you make them three, you are an idolator. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Keep your eyes immediately. Keep yourself from idols. See? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not three gods, but one God expressed in three attributes.
Amen.
The devil is the one that make up those things, sir, to make idolaters out of people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Keep yourself from idols. No such thing as Trinity in the Bible, you know? That's idolatry. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
No such thing in the Bible, you know? All that God was, sir, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, sir, he poured into the church, the believers. Now, we talk about even that many Bible characters describe Christ, right? Even the very first couple, Adam and Eve, were a type of Christ and the bride. See? Actually, Adam and Eve were a type of Christ and the bride. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. See? You know, that's what Adam being a type of Christ, actually, you know. Verse 47 says, the first man is of the earth, has it. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So the bride is the second Eve, if you want, just like Christ is last Adam, you know. So, as Eve was made of the rib taken from the side of Adam, so the bride of Christ came forth, for the piercing of his side. Amen? He did. That's why in Ephesians 5:25, the couple of that here, Ephesians 5, talking to the husbands and so on. And he will now zero in and that I'm talking about Christ, you know? Christ is the principal theme of the old scripture. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. When Adam saw Eve, what did he say? This is the flesh of my flesh and the bones of my bones, right? Praise God. So we, the bride of Christ, Jesus Christ, we are told here, so we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. See? For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, here comes another mystery. This is a great mystery. but I speak concerning Christ and his church. All over the Bible, whatever you say comes out to that Lord Jesus Christ and some of that, you know. So it's all a mystery and some of that, you know. So now, to restore back his kinship with the fallen man. You know, so God had to let them get lost for to become a savior. I mean, what are you going to save? He had to let man get lost. He didn't let them to get lost. No. And he didn't do it, but he knew by his foreknowledge, that man will fall. And eventually, if he even come to be, that he'll be able to manifest his savior attributes. For if he made them to fall, and then he punished them for it, how could that be God? You see what I'm saying? You know, he knew by the fall, but he didn't cause it. You know, what happened was that he put man to act as a free moral agent. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He made man as a free moral agent. So you can worship him, and you know, and you can do what you want, you know, and so. But so, of course, because of that free moral agent, you are able to choose from right or wrong, right? Of course, unfortunately, they choose the wrong way, the way of sin. So we know that, and some of that, you know. So now, so when he put man on partnership with him, he let man act as a free moral agent. Even today, as we talk right now, people are free moral agents. That's why Joshua told them, choose you this day whom you will serve, amen? With your free moral agency and so on. You choose this day whom you will serve. But for me, as my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? That is in Joshua 5, I believe it is, and so that, you know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God didn't change that. He didn't change that, and so that, you know. So only the satanic religion, they want to force people on them to be slaves to them and so on. God just gave man as a free moral agent. You accept Christ. To, as many as received him, to them give him power to be called the sons of God. Even them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The only thing is that those who don't believe him, they are condemned already. So anyway, so we see that one that, you know, so free moral agents and so on, that, you know. So now, that, in allowing that and permitting that, he could manifest himself that attribute as a savior. So and God's law is this. So God's law is that this, so that sinner he shall die, right? That's God's law, right? Ezekiel 18:20 says so. That's the law of God. This, so that sinner shall die. So God himself then came in the Lord Jesus Christ to take the penalty of his own law. What is it? Ezekiel 18:20. This, so that sinner shall die, right? So God himself came in the Lord Jesus Christ to take the penalty of his own law, which is death, to redeem man that was lost because of sin. When Eve went away from the world, what did happen? He went away from our mate, right? That what happened there. And any group today called themselves a Christian or whatever they call themselves, and they get away from the word of God, and they go to a denominational kind of a thing, they are committing fornication with the word of man's wisdom. They are rejecting the authority of God's word. No, that's what they are doing. They have done the same thing that Eve did. Got away from the word of God. So the true Christian stays with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. No matter what, they stay with the word of God. When the church rejects any word, any part of the Bible, anything, any doctrine, any Bible doctrine, and they reject part of it and so on, that, you know what they are doing. So, you know, or they put a human interpretation to the word of God, she's become, you know, an adulterer. That's what she is spiritually talking, an adulterer. And that was happening right there, you know, against her husband. See, because God is the husband of the church. Like I said before, if either I'm if and some of that, you know. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11:2, what say that one? God is the bridegroom, right? And the true church is the bride, right? So not all the church, no, we are the bride. So in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. You see, when I say God is your husband, that and he presents you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So anytime a group that claim to be Christian take man's word or take human interpretation of God's word, or take the creed of any denomination outside of the word of God, that group becomes spiritual prostitute in the sight of God. You are right, my sister. That's my next sentence. You put it in my mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 17 mark such a group as the walk and allot. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. You know, the Roman Catholic is the walk, and the Protestants are daughters are the allot. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God's church is out of all those things. Yes, in that system, there are still God's children who have not had their eyes open, but God will bring every one of them out. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation 18, come out of all my people. Amen.
Amen.
Partake not of our sin and receive not of our plague. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's finishing up now. God has been trumpeting decades and decades ago, trumpeting and calling out God's children from this system. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And when the last one come out here, then the Lord will descend himself from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. See? So, it's going to happen one of these days. So, God permitted the fall so that he might manifest in his attribute with as a savior. He's the all-knowing God, right? Omniscient, all-knowing. God became the savior and fulfilled his own law. He died on the cross, you know, and he rose again the third time. Now, he could not do it, die on the cross, as the great Jehovah that occupied eternity back then, and some of that, before there was anything, and some of that, you know. He had to come as a man, see, as to be our kinsman, for him to die like that, you know. He had to do that, and some of that, you know. So he had to become a man. He took kinship with a man that was lost, and he became a man, God man, really. God made flesh, and that's why, come on, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, to be a savior. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. God became us. What a wonderful thing like that. Mystery, it's a mystery, right? God became us to take our sins away upon himself, that he might make us him, fulfilling his great purpose to be the eternal Father, you know. And we sons and daughters of God. No wonder in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him sin. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So, and we know. So we see from the old Bible, all these mysteries in the Bible, God predestinated and chose the bride even before the foundation of the world. Yes, he predestinated and then chose the bride even before the world began. Where? Where are the scripture? Ephesians 1:3. To see our position in Christ. This great, many, many mysteries in the Bible, right? That will make the church be jumping up and down. Yes, laughing in and out of church, amen? Praise God. Anyway, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we see all those wonderful, wonderful things that God did for the people before the world began. Some don't believe that, and they call themselves church people. You know that, you know. If I'm predestinated, then can I just go and sin and something like that, you know? You know, if you are a Christian, you are predestinated, the first thing that happened in your life, the desire to sin is gone. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You will abhor sin. To you sin, there will be a godly sorrow. that make you to turn to God, amen. If you are God's seed, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So yes, he predestinated those being God and so on that. That's a whole subject by itself, but you just go on that, you know. Now, so the bride is predestinated and chosen before the foundation of the world. So now verse 60, so the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now verse 9 says, having made known unto all the mystery of his will. You see that mystery again? That hidden mystery? So there are mystery, and it has to be revealed, amen? See? Of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he had proposed himself. There are many of these mysteries, but it all boils to this now, that God manifests himself in the flesh, amen? To his people and so on, to redeem his people and so on, that you know. So yes, predestinated. It's a mystery and so on. God, before there was any star made, or the earth made and so on, that you know, in his great mystery, he chose the bride in him. He did. Knowing that if we fall by disobeying the word, he will choose a bride that will not fall, that will hold to that word, regardless of what all the rest of the world has to say about that word. Mm-hmm. He will restore falling Eve, meaning the true church, see, that was typing the church. So he will raise up a bride for himself at the end of the age, you know, and so on, or throughout the ages, really, you know. Mm-hmm. At every age, there's always a remnant, amen. Praise amen. God. Right from the beginning. Now, so to them, that some of that, that he has, and some of that, at the end, to the end of the age. So that's why. Now, let's see Genesis 1:27 very quickly. Now, and so God created man in his own image. We are seeing how God even typed Christ and the church in Adam and Eve. I'm just expanding on that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created in him. Male and female created he them. See mysteries of mysteries, you know. Now before I go, you know, Genesis 5:2 again. Almost the same thing. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. What do we see here? We learn something here. When God created Adam, you know what? You know, he was both masculine and feminine, for what you can see right here from the word of God. So we see that the truth in Adam was both masculine and feminine. So in the making of Eve, what did God do? God opened up the side of Adam, right? We are comparing how Adam and Eve type Christ and the church. We're just expanding on that. So in making of Eve now, God opened up the side of Adam, took out a rib and made Eve out of it. Then take the feminine part of Adam and put it in Eve. See? One way of seeing it, and so because male and female created Eden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he took the feminine part out of Adam and put it in Eve. Part of creation of Eve, as soon as that, you know. So we see that one. So what is that doing to us? So Eve was a type of the church. God took the church out of the side of Christ. For when Christ died was pure, what happened there? Blood and water came out. And the church was redeemed by the blood that came out of the body of Christ.
Amen.
1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Talk about the blood again. See? In Acts, coming out of the side of Christ. In Acts 20:28, Paul, by the Holy Ghost, exhorting the Ephesian headers and so on, towards the end of that verse, talking about the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Revelation 1:5. Unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the church was born by the washing, you know, of the sins away by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another way to look at it, since Christ is the word, right? and the bride is taken from Christ, then that bride is part of the world. See? Yes. She cannot stand on creed. She couldn't do it. She cannot stand on denominational things. She cannot. She cannot stand on, say, I'm good, or nobody is really good at all that, you know. So that's why in 1 Peter 1:23 we are told, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. God's word liveth and abideth forever. And in Colossians 1:14 we are told, whom we have redemption through his blood, I read it before, even the forgiveness of sins. In John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. So thus we see that anyone who prefers to be a Christian and is living outside of the word of God is not even saved, because we are saved by the word of God, amen? And we are part of that word because we are part of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we are even told that in 2 Corinthians 6:16, we are told toward the last part, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, part of the mystery, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians 5:30 told us, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So this morning, see, there are so many mysteries in the Bible, but the Lord Jesus is the principal theme of the whole Bible, and that this mystery has to be revealed to individuals. No matter how you preach the Godhead, you know, to people and so on, that, you know, until it is revealed to them. Now at one time, another time, even one of the disciples called Thomas, you know, and the Lord appeared to certain of the disciples in the day of resurrection. Thomas wasn't there. And then the Lord particularly appeared again the 8th day, and he made sure that Thomas was there. So now, until I put my hand, you know, at the place, you know, I put my hand, you know, at his side, and see the, you know, I will not believe. So the Lord appeared because of him and so on. When he has done those things, my Lord and my God, amen. Praise the Lord. Not only the Lord, but my God. Praise God. He acknowledged that. One time, there had been a saying among the disciples, own crisis. People were thinking, who is he and so on. He has told them many, many times and so on. Then the Lord asked his disciples, whom do you think? Who do men think I am? Some say you are Elias. Some say you are some of the prophets and so forth. But who do you, my disciples, say I am? Then Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did the Lord say? Oh, Simon, no, flesh and blood hath not revealed to you this thing, but my Father who is in heaven. So all this has to be seen by revelation. They are mysteries, and they have to be revealed to individuals. Praise God. That's why many people don't see it. It has to be revealed. That's a teaching going forth and so on, that, you know. Then it must be revealed to individuals. So I just pick one of the so many mysteries, the greatest of all mysteries, that God, the Almighty God, come in Christ to redeem the human race unto himself. So this morning, are you not glad that you are part of the body of Christ? Amen. That you are even a member in particular? Nobody can take your place. Amen. That's why the Bible likens the body of Christ to the old body, and Christ is the head, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, and we are members, and you are a member in particular. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, you know, that if you abide in me, and my word abide in you. He said, I'm the vine, the true vine, and you are the branches. Praise the Lord Jesus. That gives us joy unspeakable, and we are full of glory. That being so, this morning, brethren, this hidden mystery has been revealed to us and so on. And in John 14:12, now because we are part of that word, everything the Lord ever did, through his name, you can do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
No matter how remote it may look to you this morning, it doesn't change the truth of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Just rise also where you are. John 14, I close with that verse now. John 14:12. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. Yes, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, that strengtheneth us, the apostle wrote. Praise the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let the word of our Lord Jesus dwell richly in you. Let us meditate in it day and night. That great revival, you know, in the early church, why they had a great revival was because of the name of Jesus. They did everything in the name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
On the beautiful gate and so forth, that you know, silver and gold I have not. But what I have, what does he have? He has the name of Jesus. Amen. You have the same name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mark 16 tells me so. Praise God. Don't pray to Peter alone. Praise God.
That's
a joke. I don't like to say joke, you know, as a child of God. That was a sin. Not a joke. It's a sin. I think there was one pope at one time and so on. One pope said that, you know what? We cannot longer say what Peter was saying. That silver and gold we don't have. Now we have all the gold, right? But then the other man said, you can't say either in the name of Jesus Christ to a layman, rise up and walk, you know? Praise the Lord. Only the bride will be able to do that and are doing it, amen? As God we appoint, praise the Lord. So let us go this morning that we are members in particular of his body, a great mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengtheneth us. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our portion, you know, for choosing us in you before the foundation of the world, before the world began. Oh, we are so glad, Lord. We didn't know it now, but we know very well that when the morning stars stand together and the sons of God shouted for joy, you are with you in that time, Lord, before the world was ever made. Lord, so we thank you this morning. We worship and adore you, Lord. So we are coming to maturity in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing who we are in the Lord Jesus. Greater are you who is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your exhortation to us in all the church ages. He that overcometh as I also overcame, is encouraging us. Come on, you are an overcomer. Get up, you are an overcomer. Our elder brother is our God, is our Savior, is our elder brother. Yeah, my friends, if you do all the things which I command you, I call you no longer servants. You are my friends. Lord, we thank you this morning. All power in heaven and in earth is given to me, the Lord said. Go ye therefore in the name of the Lord with the same authority. In my name, Bible says, cast out devils, sir. In my name, yeah, speak with new tongues in my name. It's a blessing to you in Christ. It's your right in Christ to speak in tongues and other tongues. It's your right in Christ. In my name, all believers are to do it according to the purpose of God. Lay hand on the sick as they will recover. The Bible says us, and that's enough, that you know. And they will even drink deadly things. It shall not hurt them. In that God foreseen, you foresaw the age we are living in. Even the very air is poison. The water is poison. The food is poison. But we have immunity. We have the Holy Ghost immunity. Even the Word of God. When we drink any deadly, we don't tempt God. Nor should we drink any deadly, it shall not even hurt us. The Bible tells us we can take everywhere we go these promises of God. So we thank you for all these things this morning. These are the things which make us to be overcomers. Lord, we thank you. As we go this morning, we go rejoicing in the name of the Lord, knowing whom we are in Christ. And there, Lord of God says, quit ye being men in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are a son of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Quit ye being men. So do the things that be of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost leading us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.